The church can be messy. The cross was messy. Sometimes we think about the cross and we just see this wooden pieces. We don't see the blood, the spit, and everything else. I'm going to read you a couple of verses and you'll see the cross was messy. It wasn't black and white. It wasn't clean. And church can be messy. So we're going to speak a little bit. This is a short encouragement on the last words of Jesus. So when we talk about somebody saying words on his deathbed, we normally pay attention to that. And there was about 8 different places where Jesus spoke words on the cross. I'm going to do about 7 of them. I'll try and keep it short. I think I must just read, Gerda, you didn't read Matthew 25 on the crucifixion. I just want to read that for us. If you go to Matthew 25, Matthew 27, let me just make sure. Matthew 27, sorry. Matthew 27, verse 32. My Bible calls it the crucifixion. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. 2 robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple, you who are going to destroy the temple, and build it in 3 days, save yourselves." Remember Jesus said he's going to, when the disciples said, "Look at all these buildings, beautiful temple." Jesus said, I will tear this temple down and build it up in 3 days. Or this temple will be torn down and pulled up. But he was speaking of his body. From today, which is his crucifixion, to Sunday, in 3 days, his body was torn down and built up again. So Jesus actually became the temple. "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Verse 45, "From the 6th hour until the 9th hour, darkness came over all the land." And that is what happened after this. 3 hours of darkness, the whole earth. About the 9th hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So those are the first words, speaking about the last words of Jesus. So this, we find this the first time in Matthew, these words that he said. The same words is in Mark 16 as well. And we find it in Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yes? Is Kayla okay? Okay. So first of all, in these words, I want to say that he bore our sin. Jesus bore our sin. I'm going to read you a lot of verses. I'm not going to preach so much. I'm going to read you a lot of verses across the Bible. So you notice that there was darkness for 3 hours on the earth. And after that he said, "My God, my God." It's the first time I've noticed this. And I said to Gerda, it's the light of the world. From Genesis 1 verse 1 you'll see Jesus being the light of the world, right through Revelations. John is very strong on this. In 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he keeps on repeating this message of God is light, Jesus is love. And Jesus died in the sense that he was separated. He was still alive, he could still speak. But in his spirit man, he died. He was separated for the first time from his beloved Father. Same Father that said to him, "This is my Son that I love, and I'm well pleased with him." He was separated from him. That's why the light died of the earth, because Jesus is the light of this world. And for 3 hours, the light was gone. Physically, it was gone. And after that, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Why did God forsake his Son? Because Jesus became sin. We're going to read the scriptures now. Jesus chose to become sin for us. The one that never sinned, he became sin. So that today here, we can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be righteous in ourselves. But by believing in Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of God. He gives it to us. It's a gift. We don't have to work for it. He gives it to us. Isaiah 53 verse 12 says, "Therefore I will give him a portion among the great." God is speaking to about his Son here. "I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors." Don't you want to go and just activate that DVD at the back? The mother's room can also hear. "Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." That the transgressors is us. We were transgressors. A transgressor is somebody that follows his own way. He's turned his back on God. He doesn't follow God's way. He follows his own way. That was us. We were transgressors. And Jesus died for us. He made intercession for us. What does that mean? He went and he stood in the gap. When he was on that cross, he was making intercession for us. He hung there. We had to hang there. We had to hang on that cross. But Jesus hung there. So he made intercession for us. He did it in our place. Hebrews 9 verse 28. "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." It's so beautiful that we are in a waiting state. And the one we are waiting for is Jesus Christ. So we saw him once when he came to this earth. And the reason he came was to hang on that cross, to bear our sin. The second time we see him, when he gives us full salvation, what does that mean? It means not only our spirit, but our soul and this body will be saved. This body will become glorified. So spirit, soul, and body, we will experience salvation, full salvation, as he says it here. 1 Peter 2:24, is what Gerda did this morning with the children here. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." By his wounds you have been healed. 1 Peter. When you look at that same verse in Isaiah 53:5, he says that by his wounds we are healed. If you look further, 1 Peter looking back to the cross. The other one was Isaiah looking towards the cross. This one is Peter looking back to the cross. He says, "By his wounds you have been healed." He's taking what happened on the cross and he's making it a present tense. By his wounds today you have been healed. 1 John 3 verse 5, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Isn't that freedom? To know that our sins have been taken away. The cross made it possible. It's not something we can do. We can't take our crumbs. We can't stop sinning. But the cross made provision for God's righteousness to become a gift to us. When we receive it, when we believe in Jesus, he gives us this gift of righteousness. Okay, the second thing, or the first thing I spoke about in terms of the last words, my God, why have you forsaken me, is he bore our sin. The second thing I want to speak about the sufferings of Christ. Isaiah 50 verse 6, I offered my back to those who beat me. I offered my back to those who beat me. My cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. It was messy. Why did Jesus go through these sufferings? Isaiah 53 verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We spoke about that just now. Luke 22:44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. This was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane means wine press. It's under a lot of pressure. That from the olives, olive oil, we used olive oil this morning, from those olives, lots of pressure, olive oil comes out of those olives. That's what Gethsemane means. I've been to Gethsemane. I was fortunate to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you have these 2,000-year-old olive trees in this garden. They are ancient. And it's so beautiful to know that Jesus prayed there between those trees. He said, Luke 22:44, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Just not just capillaries bursting in his skin, but actually bleeding and falling to the ground. Lots of pressure that he was experiencing. So much pressure that he was saying, as a man, as a human, he was saying, God, if it's possible, let the suffering pass before me. Let this cup, I don't want to drink from this cup, but not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. If we can say that this morning, if that can become our motto, every day, every moment, not my will, but your will might be done. Not my comfort zone, but your will be done. Hebrews 2 verse 10, in bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. What is it saying? That God caused Jesus suffering, because through that suffering he was making him perfect. There's another verse, I think it's Hebrews 5 verse 8, where he says that through suffering Jesus learned obedience. Remember, Jesus is our example. The pain that we bear on a daily basis, whether it's emotional, physical, that pain makes us more obedient. That pain, that suffering, causes us to become part of this perfectness of Christ. We will not become perfect, but the perfect one, the one that endured the suffering, is represented in us by the Holy Spirit. It's a verse of comfort. Hebrews 13 verse 12, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Now we come to the second, so we did, Father, why did you forsake me? Now we're doing the second of Jesus' last sayings, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's in Luke 23 verse 34. He was doing intercession for his enemies there, for the Romans and for the Jewish leaders. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He was doing intercession for us. Romans 8 verse 34 says, who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is also interceding for us right now, this moment. The thing that's troubling you in your mind now, Jesus at the moment interceding for you. He's praying for you. If you are feeling shame at the moment, Jesus is saying to the Father, I died for him. I died for her. This is my blood. I've already paid for their sins. I've paid for their shame, for their anguish, for their suffering. Jesus interceding for us now before the Father. For salvation, he's interceding for our salvation. Hebrews 7 verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. I give up on myself sometimes. If I keep on doing the same sin over and over again, I say either this doesn't work, or I'm not worth this. I'm not going to get this right. This verse is saying that Jesus is praying for me, as he's praying for all of us. As we keep on struggling, every time getting up, Jesus is praying for us, encouraging us. Why? Because he wants our full salvation. We said just now, spirit, soul, and body. He wants our full salvation. He wants us in this life to live in freedom. Not only in the next life, in this life, he wants us to live in complete freedom. We're getting to the third saying of Jesus. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. We read just now about the two guys that was with him on the cross. They were, well, on their own crosses. And one of them, we call them the penitent thief. He rebuked his sinful companion. He confessed his own sin. He declared to Christ to be sinless. He declared Christ to be sinless. He exhibited wonderful faith. He confessed Christ, calling him Lord. Remember, he's probably a murderer or a thief. That's the reason he's hanging on a Roman cross, a shameful death. He made a model prayer. And he received an immediate answer from Jesus. Today, you will be with me in paradise. This is Jesus' heart. This is his posture. Even on the cross, while he's dying, he's saying to the one who is penitent, today you will be with me in paradise. Fourth saying of Jesus, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's Luke 23 verse 46. We find it also in Psalm 31 verse 5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. 1 Peter 2 verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. We can only do that. If I can only do that. When the world comes against us, not to respond, but to look up and say, God, I trust you. I trust that you will fight for me, that you will fight for the church. 1 Peter 4:19. So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. The same as the previous verse, to rest in God, not to make plans. How do I get out of this trouble? But to trust God that he will take us through the trouble. The fifth saying of Jesus on the cross, dear woman, speaking to his mother, dear woman, here is your son. It's in John 19, verse 26 and 27. Dear woman, here is your son. And he's speaking to John and saying, here is your mother. Even in his last moments, community for him was very important. He didn't want his mom to be lonely. He didn't want John to be lonely. He was a picture of community. As in Genesis 1 verse 1, you see the Father You see the Holy Spirit brooding over chaos, over the earth. You see the word Jesus coming out of the Father's mouth, let there be light. There was community in the beginning. On the cross, Jesus was also encouraging community. Dear woman, here's your son. Here's your mother. All barriers broken down. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. As we sit here, we are family. It is Jesus that did this. It's his cross. It's his blood that breaking every division, every boundary that there is. His blood is breaking it down as we believe in him. It's a brotherhood of Christ. Hebrews 2 verse 11. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, if I can add that. The sixth saying of Jesus on the cross, I am thirsty. That's a simple statement. I'm thirsty. It's in John 19 verse 28, the last of the Gospels. It connects to our thirst. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 11, to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. These are the things that we fear. It's the physical things that we fear. But Jesus was there. His disciples was there. In this context, Paul was there. He experienced this, to be hungry and thirsty, to be in rags, to be brutally treated, to be homeless. We see in this Christ's humanity that he wasn't just the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. He came from Abraham, he came from David. When we are thirsty, when we struggle physically, we are encouraged by the fact that Jesus was there. Jesus knew every emotion, every weakness that we are going through. And that's why he's a perfect high priest, as it says in Hebrews. The last of Jesus' sayings for this morning, there is more, but I took 7 of the 8. It is finished. John 19 verse 30. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He fulfilled scripture from Genesis to Malachi, what we would call the scripture or the law and the prophets, the poetical books. He fulfilled all of that in the cross and also in his resurrection. We'll look at that next time. But when he said it is finished, it meant every word of God is fulfilled. When John didn't want to baptize him, he said to John, let righteousness be fulfilled. Baptize me so that righteousness, so that the scripture can be fulfilled. Because John was his forerunner. So we looked at these 7 words of Jesus on the cross. Very important words. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we realize the price. We tend to look at the physical side of the cross, but there's a spiritual side. And I believe that's why those words were written first in the Gospels. The separation between God and Jesus was the worst that he had to go through. And then he came, the second one, he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they are doing. It's a model for how we live, these words of Jesus. Third one is, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. We have a calling. The calling is not for me alone, for Gerda. We all have a calling. Jesus said, or the word says in Corinthians, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he's given us a ministry of reconciliation, every one of us has received the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? It is peace between God and man. When Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, There was no peace anymore between God and man. Jesus came to reestablish that peace, so that when we believe now in Jesus Christ, this is our message: peace between God and man. The fourth one we looked at was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There's a rest in that. Even though we're working hard, even though we're doing our careers or building our businesses, studying degrees, there's a rest in that, that the Father is in control of everything. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Fifth one was, dear woman, here is your son, here is your mother. Always focus on community. We are not called to live this life alone, the spiritual life. We are called to live it together as a family. Sixth one is, I am thirsty. In that we see the priesthood of Jesus. The fact that we can go to him anytime, night and day. And we can say, this is how I feel. Even the ugly stuff. We talked about the messiness this morning. Even the messiness of our emotions. Lord, I'm angry. I cannot forgive that person. He hurt me too deep. Go with that messiness before God. You can trust him with that. And the last one is, it is finished. Jesus is the one that fulfilled it. He fulfilled all those promises from the beginning. He is the one that repaired that bridge between God and man. His body that was broken repaired that bridge. Thank you. We pray for us. Father, what a privilege to do your cross this morning. To just be reminded of your cross. And we be reminded, Lord Jesus, of you on that cross. You poured yourself out for us so that we can sit here this morning. It is with joy that you went to the cross because you saw the church coming. As Paul says in Ephesians, we thank you for that. That we can become part of your family and be part of your family. We don't have to be alone because you're always with us. So we give you all praise now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.